All right, I thank you so much for all of that, and I appreciate the love that you have for each other. And now, if I could draw us together around the reading of God's Word. Today it's in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your sermon today is a mother's gift of Christ, as you see in the bulletin. And your thought for today is, a mother's ultimate goal is not to be a successful parent, but to be more like Christ. A mother's ultimate goal is not to be a successful parent, but to be more like Christ. The first thing that I want you to take note of here is that Paul here is celebrating Timothy's family structure and how for generations that faith that Paul is celebrating that he sees in Timothy has been alive and well in his family, both in his grandmother and in his mother. Now the thing about Timothy's household, we are told in Scripture that Timothy's mother had married a Greek. I don't know the background there, but in Acts it tells us that when Paul, Acts 16 I believe it is, when Paul had met Timothy for the first time, that it says that the mother was a believer and the father was a Greek. And so it was in a parenting household where as far as the Christian faith was concerned, it was an unbalanced household, as what Scripture was saying. We don't know if Timothy's father remained outside of the faith or not, but that is how Timothy is presented to Paul. So how can the mothers here, as you are looking to share with your child, as Timothy's grandmother and mother shared with their son, how can that faith then, even for a one parent, to reach a child? So I've told you about Timothy's background there. 1 Peter 3:1 through 2 says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." There are many unbalanced homes in the world today, and they could be unbalanced for a number of reasons. It could be that the father is outside of the faith, as Timothy's father was. Or it could be that the father has stepped away from the responsibility that God has ordained for fathers to be the spiritual head of the home. For whatever reason, the mothers there share the burden of sharing the faith of Christ with their children. Now, it's not that way in every home, and if your home is not like that, I celebrate that with you this day. But there are a lot of places where the moms take on that responsibility. They are the ones who get the children to church, Sunday school. They are the ones who may share bedtime stories with those children, pray with them at night. And so the moms take on the heavy pulling, the heavy load, if you will, of sharing Christ with their children. Jonathan Edwards encouraged each parent, each Christian family, he said, to be like a little church. And so where you have your time together, where you can come together and be that little church for your children's benefit, and however you want that to be displayed there within that home, whether you come together for those family times or devotionals or however you want it displayed, it could be that very special time with your children there right before they go to sleep, where you share a story with them, pray with them, talk to them, in whatever way that you can, encourage you mothers to share Christ with your children, even if the father is not there to do that for whatever reason, as I said. But there's also encouragement for you here that even in light of that, even if you do think that you are doing most of the heavy pulling here, what Scripture encourages you to do is to continue on with that same mindset, so that you can display Christ not only to your children, but also display Christ to your husband and others that you might have within your realm of contact. That type of demeanor there, where you have that quiet faith, you have that faithfulness about you, where you continue to present Christ. Your life is a billboard, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but your life can be a billboard for Christ and how you treat others and how you talk about Christ, not only with your words, but also with your life and your lifestyle. And so there are many ways, moms, if you feel like you are in that unbalanced household, or if you feel like you may be doing the lion's share of the spiritual leadership of that home, to find encouragement in Scripture to continue being that same way. And it doesn't matter if you still have kids at home or not. You continue to be that light post. Continue to be that lamp for Christ. Continue to speak into their lives, no matter where that child is. And I look out and see all of these family units with me, with us this morning, as I see you and mothers, and are here with their mothers, who are now referred to as grandmother, and others of you who are here with your children. And it's a very good thing to see this act of celebrating the family unit today. And so in whatever way, in whatever capacity, moms, that you can put Christ into the heart and life of a child, then you are encouraged to do that. And it is a good thing for you to do that, because the most important gift that you can give your child is the Word of God. The most important gift that you can give your child is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15 says, "But as for you," again Paul continuing to address Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." He's talking about Lois and Eunice. "And how from childhood," now pay a particular attention to that particular word there, "how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Paul notes that it's never too early to start your children on a spiritual journey toward Christ. If you know that George Barner, he started that Barner Group, which are Christian pollsters. Well, he wrote a book also about reaching children for Christ. And this is why I wanted you to take special note of that group that we had here. You saw this part here, they were 9 and below. And those two over there, they were less than 13. Let me read you something that Barner has discovered and relayed. Barna says that social scientists have known for years that the moral foundations of children are generally determined by the time the individual reaches age 9. Our research, Barna's own, confirms a parallel outcome in the spiritual dimension. By age 9, most children have their spiritual moorings in place. Barna goes on to say that by the age of 13, your spiritual identity is largely set in place. So those are some things to keep in mind. And those were our children that were presented to you this day. And those aren't all that are connected to Union. Union has a good many children connected with them. And so this group that was up here today, when you look at their faces, this group, 9 and under, those two below 13, with these kinds of teachings and this kind of information before us there, if I could get on my soapbox for just a moment, if you will allow me to, and take the emphasis away from moms. But folks, there should be a line of individuals waiting for their chance to teach these young people for just that very reason. There should be a line of individuals awaiting their chance to teach these young people. I know everybody is not gifted as a teacher. I understand that. But as I shared with one lady this morning, you can share your life with them. You can share the love of Christ with them in so many ways. You can tell them the stories of Scripture. You can relate to them the truth that is in that story of Scripture. You don't have to get deep theological meaning at this age group over here. But you can share Christ with them in so many needful ways. And so I ask you to put that out in prayer about your heart, about your life, because there's needs. You saw them this morning. You looked into their faces, every one of them. Okay? By age 9, pretty much set, you know, your morality. By age 13, this is the kind of person you're going to be. Now, that doesn't mean that they're lost and hopeless after the age of 13. So never, ever, 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 never, ever give up on your child. You continue to pursue them. You continue to share Christ with them. You continue to seek them out as only a mother can do. And with that special connection that you have in their life as their mother, you continue to pray for that child. You continue to pursue that child. You continue to put them before the Lord. Because that is your very special calling, mother, who is also a child of God, that you can be that light, that life-giving influence within the life of that young person. Now, that doesn't mean that we just hand them the Bible, you know, and say, here, figure it out. But we let them see Christ in you, as I said before. Your child will learn from your life because your life is a walking billboard of what you see as important. Your life is a walking billboard of what you see as important. How is it that it is? Because they will see how you attend to your business. They will see how you speak about people. They will see how you react to the stuff of life that all of us have. They will see how you rank in importance all of the things that they have to accomplish that week. They will see the importance that you put on the spiritual things. They will see the importance that you put on recreational things. They will see the importance that you put on work things, and they will learn from that. And so understand that your life that you lead before your children, whether your children have children or whether they are still at home with you, the life that you lead before them speaks into their hearts the knowledge that you have of Christ, the light that you can share with them. And that has to be nourished and nurtured in your hearts, moms, if it's going to be powerful enough to shine into the light and it shine into the life of another person. And so I encourage you to continue to present to them God. Someone said, I don't know who said this, but bring up a child without God and you get what you get. But you bring up a child with God and you get what God wants. It's not a foolproof means of raising a child. I've seen children raised in godly households that, you know, they go out and they do their own thing. And so this is not a foolproof means, but just like that expression says, God has them on their journey. But you did your part to present God to them while you had that influence in their life. And as you have that influence in their life, you have that opportunity to present God to them. So moms, I encourage you to fill yourself up with Christ so that Christ in you will be that which can be shared, which can be given to others as that great gift. And that is the point there, that the Word of God points to Christ. Christ is that ultimate gift. And as I shared with these young people today, getting somewhere and going somewhere, the best way to get a person to their destination is to go with them. And so if you want your child to learn Christ, then you go on that journey with them. If you want your child to be filled with that Spirit, then you go on that journey with them. If you want to speak these truths into the hearts and lives of your children, then let them be spoken into your heart and into your life. That is what we do. That is our obligation as Christian parents, to speak Christ into the life of our children. Because ultimately, we have to remember that they are His. And that's what the second part of that expression was. You give them to God, and then you get what God wants. God may have a journey for them to go on. God may be dealing with them in a way that we just can't understand right now. And they have to walk their path for a while, so that God will get them to learn the things that they must learn in order to surrender to His call. But the call is there. As I've shared with you before, the more you share with your young people, and it looks like they're just not paying you any attention, until one day you hear exactly what you said 10 years ago coming out of their mouths, but now it's their words. Now it's their thoughts. Resist the temptation to say, "I told you so." But revel in what God has done by your witness in planting those thoughts, in planting those words in the heart of another. And be thankful to God that He's now let it become their heart and their thoughts. But we first, those words have to be implanted. And so that ultimate goal, as I said, folks, that ultimate goal is not to be a successful parent, is not to write a book, but to be more like Christ. Because the more like Christ you are, the more Christ will fill the lives of your children. And that's our call, mothers and fathers, to be more like Christ. And let Christ fill the hearts and lives of your children. Let it be channeled through you so that they can see Christ in you and see the importance that you have for Christ coming through your life and how you relate to Him and the things that you say and how you worship Him. Because, moms, this is your day. Your influence on your children is very important. We hear sometimes people say, "Well, I'm just a mom," or "I just, when we're relating to others." There is no such thing as just a mom. Let me share this with you. President Theodore Roosevelt said this, as quoted by Stephen Cole. He wrote that when all is said and done, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. Think about that for a moment, moms. You are the one, according to President Roosevelt, you are the one supreme asset of the national life in how you rear your children, in how you share Christ with them, in how you bring them up in the knowledge and fear of the Lord, as Scripture puts it. Because children are our hope. They represent our tomorrow. They represent our help, if you will, when that time comes when we are feeble and fail. They sometimes can be seen for us as a way to correct the wrongs that we did in our lives. And I encourage you to resist that temptation. Because we didn't make the football team, we want to be sure that this one or that one makes the football team. Or because we weren't good speakers, we want to make sure that this one or that one becomes a good speaker. Or because we weren't good students, we want to make sure that this one or that one becomes a good student. And so I ask you to resist that temptation to use your children to fulfill your own fantasies. Or your failings, I should say. But they are sometimes used like that. We instruct them, we care for them, we worry about them, and they make us cry. Sometimes out of pride, out of just the pride that we have in seeing our children and all the things that they accomplish. Sometimes out of their actions, they make us cry in sadness. Sometimes they fill us with a sense of accomplishment that is very short-lived. If I could share this with you from our own experience. When our first child came, we got so involved in that first child that, you know, we just forgot that, as I say, I've shared this story with you before, we forgot that it takes 9 months under optimum conditions. And so, you know, there was a period of time there where we thought we were the world's best parents. You know, we were going to write a book. You know, this child thing is just easy. You know, because she was the one that you said no, she would stop. She was the one that said don't do it, she would quit. You know, and then the second one came. No, quit, stop. No, 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 no. So sometimes they can make you think that you're something that you aren't. And so that's why we need God's grace. That's why we need His wisdom. That's why we need His Spirit. Because they are so important. So surrender your children to God's care. Remember that they are ultimately His, and He wants us to care for them. So encourage them not to be ashamed of the gospel, as Christ says through Paul here, but to fan into flames the gift of faith that you help nurture, moms. That gift of faith that you help nurture. Start early, stay late, and never stop giving Christ to your children. May I pray for us. Father, we thank you this day for your grace. We thank you this day for your love that you give to us and share with us. Father, we thank you for the gift of our mothers. We thank you, Father, for the meaning that they have in our lives. And how through your divine hand of creation you have purposed this meaning. May all of our mothers here, Father, understand the importance of their job in the lives of their children. May they understand, Father, how important it is to show Christ to them, to be Christ in their life. Father, I pray that you encourage them when they think they've fallen and failed. I pray that you will love them when they think that they're unlovable. I pray, Father, that you will give them encouragement when they feel like that they are all alone. Father, lift them high because you created them with honor. Lift them up when they are distressed. Comfort them in their worries. And Father, love them as only you can. And this is our prayer today in Christ. Amen.